On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Welcome to another, let's call it a holiday edition of Tall Can Sports, as we thought maybe we'd take a look back on the year that was. How's it going, Rob?
It's outstanding.
Yeah. A delightful Christmas.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Who doesn't need socks?
Right.
And assless chaps. Man. When okay. Do those ever go out of style?
I was halfway with you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
I didn't get any socks.
Exactly.
I just thought, there's a lot of things that you and I are drawn to that, you know, we've probably beaten to death over the first 7 months of this. Some things that maybe went unnoticed, some that just might be good to look back on. I don't know if there's any need to go in any kind
of... Well, yeah, okay, but I think we all know now, and honestly, we don't rehearse this beforehand. I know that seems totally unbelievable. What do you mean, you don't rehearse this? There's no show notes?
This is as imperfect as it gets.
Right. If we didn't cover it in the last 7 months, it's because nobody gives a shit, and especially not us. So that's the end of the show, guys. We'll see you later.
Nor should you. Have a good 2016. Yeah, no, there's something to that. You should all have better taste. Did we talk... all about the NBA this year?
The what?
Okay.
Oh, you mean that thing with the hoop and the...
Squeak, squeak, swish.
And the harm and the... Right.
That thing Maddie likes.
Yeah, okay, and you know what?
It's kind of a fringe.
And I think there was a pile of interesting things that happened in the NBA. I just, you know... Did you have some place you want to start?
Illustrating the point, yeah.
Right, but Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, I think, right... Seeing LeBron not win?
Well, has any NBA player ever done more with less? Like, if that guy's running mate, you know, he left Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh for J.R. Smith, right? Like,
Are you talking about LeBron?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Best of luck to you, man.
Chris left Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, okay.
I think he happily left Bosh behind.
Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks, whatever's going on down there.
No, it's, you know... It was kind of fun. I can't say I watched a ton of the NBA playoffs, and I don't, you know, we might as well start here, just, I can't say I watched a ton of it, but it was kind of cool to see a team playing that run-and-gun style make something. Normally, you know, over the last 10, 15, 20, any team in the West, especially that's tried to do that, has been shut down by the Spurs sometime in the Western Conference playoffs.
Right. Right?
Just said, go home, right?
And well,
you're going to get pounded around here. And
what you're not going to be able to shut down is the three. Right. If you want to play, you want to play that cutting and moving and, but yeah, if you stay out of the paint, you stay on the outside,
back, and just bomb you from afar. What are you going to do? Yeah, right.
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think either one of us profess to be
no
basketball experts, but I think clearly that was interesting. And again, I with most sports, and we talked about this in the past on many occasions, If you don't have, if it's not your team,
yeah,
it's usually, yeah, I don't mind that team, but I hate that team,
right,
or that guy.
Yeah,
I like to see harm happen to that guy. And so your rooting interest, or at least mine, usually comes from, yeah, more from what I don't like. Who do I not want to see win?
So is that LeBron for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the whole I'm going home thing did nothing for you? It was a... Yeah. Obviously, that's dating back to a late 2014, but it led to this.
Yeah, yeah, no, thing. For sure, right? As the season wraps up and everything. Yeah, okay, and that's an interesting story, but to me, it doesn't wash away. And I'm sure if I was a Cavaliers fan with the other six of them, I'm sure that, you know, it would probably wash away. It would be the cooling salve on my wound, right? But...
Well, didn't he, and this is probably where we get into trouble with not being NBA experts, did he not only sign like a 2 or 3 year deal, something where he could, look, I came home, I might still be able to get out to LA and make another shit ton more money or something like that.
Well, I can't imagine money's the problem.
No, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but I can't imagine that, but you know.
I'm going to wait for Kobe to retire and then go be Kobe.
I think, well, to me, to me, this is all about, I love playing in my hometown, I love being an Ohio guy and all that stuff. I just left for a short period of time, won a couple championships. Fuck you, Cleveland. and then now I'm coming home.
Right.
I've got my chance. Everybody knows that, right, I can win. Everybody knows it. But now I can go back home and see if I can win.
Right.
And really sort of put the cherry on the top of that.
Right. Right?
I've got my title, so that the urgency has sort of subsided a bit, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
The boner is less throbbing.
It's wilting a little bit.
Just, yeah. Well, slightly, right?
Right?
In terms of...
Do you think, you know, in terms of... Would he dare leave again?
Well,
that's kind of what I'm waiting for, is if this doesn't go well. And I could see over the summer, there were some things happening where he wasn't going to re-sign until they signed a couple of guys to make sure this was...
He better get traded the next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then he's never coming home.
Honestly, I can't imagine. Right. Yeah, you come home and...
You can always go home, but you can't go home twice.
Yeah, and right? if you don't win a championship in this run and you leave again on your own free will,
right?
So man, you're going to be in trouble.
Steph Curry and his run-and-gun squad, they got off, was it 24 wins to start the season?
Yeah, a record-setting, 24 straight wins to start a season.
Man, so that was...
And he was the MVP, honestly, I think, and it's... I think this is Kobe's farewell.
Yeah. And so, I'm sure we'll have our share of hockey thoughts on this year wrap. But that's always kind of been the thing in hockey, right, is you can't build a straight run-and-gun team and win in the playoffs. And the NBA is a different beast. If you have a guy like Steph Curry, you can do it. But...
Well, hockey doesn't have the equivalent of the three-point shot, right?
No, that's true. But, man, those guys, even for me who... I can watch, honestly... The joke has always been about the NBA. If you see the last 2 minutes, you've seen the game. For me, I can watch the first 57, first 58. It's those last two or three.
It's the last two that take 58.
Right. And you know what? We're both showing our lack of expertise because it's not a 60-minute game.
12, 28.
Yeah, no, that's right. So there you go, everybody. But I think the point is still the same, right? I can watch the back and forth of a game. When it gets to that point at the end where it's a foul on every play, and we're going to take 7 commercials.
Yeah,
and
timeouts, and the ball moves, and blah, yeah. blah.
So that's where they lose me. But to watch a team, they were an exciting team to watch. So that was...
I want to go back to playing with peach baskets in the leg. honestly, the guy with a little pole, that's what
Those
I want
Canadian
to see.
Heritage commercials.
Yeah, this is it. I need these peach baskets. Okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, old timer. But see, the thing is, that story is fresh.
Right.
So not only Steph Curry, young guy, but Golden State is an interesting story, right? That's sort of one of those, to me, as an outsider, you look out and you go, that is so far outside. I think it's a former ABA team.
And a laughing stock for a long time. Very Clipper-esque.
Right? Yeah. Very Kansas City Royals-ish. Oh.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, God damn it. But they suck for years too, right? Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Maple Leafs.
Yeah, the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
All these sorts of work. And now we've sort of morphed into some that have had a bit of success. But, right, those ones that forever just...
Garbage.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Right? And you have, again, as you said, Clippers.
when it's fun.
Pre-Griffin, yeah. Right?
When in the NBA, one guy turned it all around, right? It's kind of...
Vince Carter.
Right?
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, honestly, Damon for Stoudemire. A couple years there.
Yeah, well, no.
No, it's...
Tracy, whatever that guy. McGrady. Come yes. on. Honestly.
Terrible. Before we totally move off this topic forever...
I thought, yeah, he's never to be until Kobe retires somewhere
right.
in 2016.
And actually, that's true. We will come to that as well. The a little international basketball this summer. I watched actually most of the FIBA Americas qualifying tournament.
FIBA
that Canada went through, and to see them, you know, in that very last game. I don't know enough about it to know that whether or not they got hosed on that last call. But it looks like another. Another opportunity where look at all these great young Canadian players and this is going to be our time and these sorts of things, and it just doesn't come to fruition, right? Shenanigans aside.
And that's a young team, right?
Yep.
And really, they blasted. Did they lose to, what was it, Venezuela?
Argentina, I think, is normally the...
No, I know, but to me, the team I want to say was Venezuela.
See, this is... I have got a pile of notes on sports I could care less about here beside me, and this is just something I thought of a second ago.
No, it's fine, but it wasn't Argentina because... okay, either way.
I think the tournament was... the tournament was in Mexico, I was going to say.
Right, generic South American team. And I know the Brazilians and the Argentinians are not garden variety, right?
That's right.
They both produce NBA players. But I'm thinking, because this was a team, honestly, Venezuela sticks in the back of my head.
Okay.
Anyways, whoever it was, they beat them by 25 points in the round robin,
yes.
Right? And then, so to me, to not only, maybe you didn't blow them out the second time, you lost?
Right. Yeah, and it's...
Jesus!
And they had some guys, they didn't have all their guys, but they had some, like, most of their guys.
Yeah.
But now you've got to go to a tournament next year that the whole world is going to, right, for one spot, basically. The experts say it doesn't look good, right? So this was supposed to be...
I took a look at it, and it doesn't look good.
This was the start of the window. So 2020-2024 was supposed to be this group's chance to... And you could, in this time, get the experience that you would need for 2020 kind of... And now you wonder what it might mean in terms of A, when you get to 2020 experience level, and B, you know, interest level in 4 years of these guys still wanting to play for Canada, if it still looks like, quite frankly, a loser program.
Well, right? But if you have enough of those guys back and it continues to improve, yeah, why would you not? Who doesn't want a chance to step up and punch one of the big guys in the nose? You know
right.
what I mean? That's... To me, it's. I don't want to show up and be the lone pro.
No,
right?
No, for sure.
If you can.
But if all these guys, if Wiggins is there and Thompson is there, and it doesn't look like at this point, yeah, it doesn't look like Bennett's going to be anything. But you know, they've got some of these. Kelly Olynyk is apparently a guy that they're very high on still. So, you know, we'll see. But it seemed like a pretty big disappointment coming out of that. It seemed like things were set up pretty well for them at that tournament.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And that's sports, and that's the beauty of young guys on the international stage.
Right.
Man, it's a learning curve.
We mentioned, I think, on the last Tall Can Sports, maybe two shows ago, Kia Nurse, the Canadian women, did get qualified. She's apparently on track to maybe be the best women's basketball player ever, not just Canadian. So still a lot of time to go there.
Look for her to be starring on the British basketball team.
Yeesh. Let's maybe work through this. You know, Maddie, if you're done here, that's okay. We're done with the basketball talk for the night. What if we start at maybe chronologically here would take us back to just a quick... Run down your early memories of last year's World Junior Tournament ended in Toronto with we watched that game at a bar here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Canada gets out to a huge lead.
I remember it being out, yeah. And honestly, I don't
3-0, I think.
Yeah, and it looked like it was going to be a laugher, and then it sort of...
2-0, 5 minutes in.
Yeah, it got to be a bit of a... And the bar was jumping.
Oh, yeah.
And
especially early. Later on, it was a little tense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, people looking around, but yeah.
I had a memory of that game that Because I think it went made it to 3-2, then 4-2, then they never tied it.
Nope.
But I had a memory that late in the third, we kind of pulled away again or got an empty netter again or whatever. It was tight all the way to the end.
Right.
I seem to recall, for some reason, early third especially, it being tight and then us pulling away. But that's not the way it played out. Like, I just went back and watched the extended highlights of it the other day. And I'm starting to get excited for, you know, the tournament that's going on right now. So I was back looking at videos, right? Just in terms of, you know, anything in particular stand out from that one in terms of carrying forward this year? Is that a memorable World Juniors for you?
For me.
Yeah.
Really, that didn't... anytime we win, right, you love that. But
to
me, there wasn't a lot of... there wasn't a lot of lovable characters,
right.
I should say, you know, in terms of... I'm not a big Max Domi fan. To me, he's... He rubs me the wrong way a bit, just in terms of his, you know, he's got that smile that says, this is a bit about me.
Right.
You know, with his whole Captain Morgan celebration and everything. And it's very, hey, look at me, look at me. And McDavid, while leading the tournament in scoring, I think.
Slow start.
Yeah. And just, to me, the Eichel McDavid show that was supposed to be the World Juniors. Right. To me, they didn't grab a hold of it like some of the guys we've talked about in the past, right? Who went on to be great players, who've grabbed the tournament by the horns and just sort of ran away with it.
Right, your Jeff Carters, your John Tavares, your, you know, these sorts of.
Yeah, how about Mark Stone with his 8 goals as a?
He'd come along a couple years later and be right there with those guys.
And so, yeah, you just sort of, to me, and with a local tie, Curtis Lazar,
right,
as local as an Edmonton
getting
guy
sent back.
Could be,
right.
To be, he's last year's Virtanen, right? And so, not really, you know, in terms of, and I didn't think Lazar, honestly, I was looking for more from Lazar there too. Now, again, he got in there, he captained the team, and honestly,
he played well, but he didn't have that offensive punch. That
you would
were
think
looking
that
for.
A guy who'd played, you know, a half a year
30
pro,
games with men,
right, who's gone back to this, that he would be able to, man, he scored some plumber goals, right?
Yeah.
Some Dino Cicerelli, Phil Esposito style, right on top of the crease, right? Banging stuff in, which you need, right? And that's obviously taking what he's learned. But, yeah, to me, there wasn't a lot of memorable characters.
Right.
Or at least lovable.
But another gold medal, or first gold medal in several years, so they'll...
first since 09, I think that.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
It's a long drought.
Which is likely to reoccur starting this year.
We'll see how it's going, man. Ups and downs so far, but we'll see how it goes, right? I guess.
How about the line of Beauvillier, Gauthier, and Chartier?
I don't think that's a line.
It was a line. I was just watching the Czech game, and in the exhibition they had the three French guys.
Gauthier is not on the team.
Not Freddie Gauthier.
You
think there's only one Gauthier out there?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Is that Smith? In Quebec?
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, exactly. So that was the combination they were running out there against the Czechs.
Okay. I don't think we'll stick to doing it this way, but in terms of chronologically, the next stop would be the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. And you know what? The thing is, the whole Deflategate, which...
I never hear that fucking term again.
Right. At that time, honestly, I hadn't heard it wasn't, you know, it was relevant because it just happened in the AFC championship game. And so, you know, but to me, that all comes down to that whole, hey, you have 3 cracks at the end zone from the 1 yard line and you don't run that ball, especially with
Marshawn Lynch,
with a premier back in the backfield.
Yeah.
Right. And you choose to throw that.
Yeah.
You get every bad thing that comes your way,
including being picked off by an undrafted rookie. Malcolm Butler is the one who fixed that shit off.
Right, awesome.
Holy crap.
Highlight. Right? That'll be a Hall of Fame reel.
Yeah.
He may never make it into the Hall of Fame, but that clip will be...
I didn't do... You know, I've got some points here on that as well. I didn't get into it deep enough. I believe right after the game, Pete Carroll came out and said, that's my call.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
But did we not too far after that, hear Russell Wilson also claim that it was his?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Okay. Just maybe just trying to be the good consummate pro. I don't know. But man, what a terrible fucking... And New England's already overcome a 10-point deficit, the biggest in Super Bowl history in a fourth quarter.
Yeah.
No one had ever overcome seven in a fourth quarter to take the lead. You're down there ready to wipe that out again. Like, could have been the biggest set of momentum swings maybe ever in a, you go back to that David Tyree catch in 07 with the Giants and
hands in,
right,
on the back of his
and
helmet.
That still might be the craziest thing I've ever seen in an NFL game.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I love to see the Patriots lose.
Sure, me too. Sorry again, Maddie, if you're still listening. He's a Patriots guy.
Yeah, he's a bit of a forerunner, I think.
Yeah.
The Patriots hat you have looks pretty pristine. Just saying.
That, to me, is a wild Super Bowl, right?
Just a couple of wild and crazy guys.
Do you remember the halftime show now? I forget. It's always something that's not fans. But
yeah, no, I don't, actually.
No, neither do I. And I'm trying to now think of this year's. It's, again, more crap. But
last year was Katy Perry?
Yep, that's right. And you know what? Now that you say that, I think I remember being not too bad. I remember her being all right. So
check me out.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
And the year before was? Oh, Bruno Mars.
I can't stand that
with
guy.
The Chili Peppers.
I can't stand Bruno Mars, honestly.
Okay.
Just terrible.
I'm going to fuck you like a gorilla.
Is that a Bruno Mars song I'm not familiar with?
I don't know if he says, I don't know if he drops the NF bomb, but yeah, exactly. That's what it is, yeah.
Okay. They would go on to suspend Tom Brady,
honestly,
for his role in this.
I don't even know if the NFL's
overturn on a fuck. Roger Goodell is just a worthless human being. Like,
yeah,
you look at all the other things going on in the NFL in terms of domestic abuse and gun violence and these sorts of things, and he does nothing about it. He takes a stand on one issue that is far from clear, and then waffles on that.
Well, they didn't waffle on it.
He overturned
by an arbitrator. No, they went back to him.
Oh, no. There was a negotiation that said, well, if you admit responsibility, we'll only give you two instead of four. Like, he was ready to fold right over.
No, I know, but you look at that picture of after the arbitrator said, yeah, that's, you can't be the appeal. You can't hear the appeal on your own decision.
Well, I agree with that theory.
Okay, but he didn't. He's like,
no, I'm sure. But
Roger, do you agree with Roger? I absolutely agree with that.
And that's
we uphold the
same piece of shit in every sport, right? That I suspended you on Monday and on Wednesday. Yeah, I'm still good with that. Yeah.
Well, you know what I thought about it, and I think I made great sense. Check out the big brain on Roger.
If you wanted to take a stab at. Yes. Unless you've got any more on Brady and this whole thing, because
the offseason and that whole Deflategate thing,
yeah.
killed any passion I had for the NFL. Honestly,
we're now
11 or 12 games into the season.
I haven't seen one.
Honestly, I don't care about it. It's totally.
And I was always kind of a, you know, an average NFL fan a little bit throughout the season, but I would be tuned in the playoffs, right? I just don't even, I don't know that I'll watch any of it this year. Now, it's easy to say it's coming up and Cam Newton.
And you will. And you know, Cam Newton bothers me too. I hate that with this whole choreographed celebrations and whatever else. And you're like, give me a break.
If you had to take a stab at who Sports Illustrated named, you know what, before we move on, I just want to say one other thing. Because the term Deflategate has bothered me all fucking year.
Deflate.
What did I say?
Yeah, nothing. That's what you said. Okay. Deflategate.
Okay. I thought you were getting ready to. I'm a little paranoid. You're always just winding up to hit me with something, and I'm trying to duck or get an arm up.
Exactly. Get the arm up.
Right. I think I won't hit you with this because obviously I do know that you are aware of where these things fucking come from. But if you're some douchebag walking around that has no idea and can't explain where the term gate comes from and what the original was all about, you need to stop. You can't just everything in sports is like when Sundin threw the stick, it was stick gate. And last year, and I know I'm being Leaf centric here. Maybe it's just Toronto people that are retarded. Something to that.
Ding.
But
shame
when they wouldn't salute the fan, it was salute gate. Like all these things. Stop it. Be more creative. Stop it.
Stop.
No, that's where I'm at with it. Just stop.
See that thing you're doing there? Don't do that.
Right. Okay. There are some very talented writers in this, you know, in sports media. You can come up with something else. I have hoopla. Full confidence.
How about that?
Sure. Deflate hoopla. I would have. That's a long hashtag.
How about fiasco?
Okay. Sure.
How about fiasco?
Anything.
Deflate
would be
fiasco.
Yes. Awesome.
The deflate debacle.
If you had to take a stab at who SI awarded their sports person of the year.
Does she look like she has a VW bug under the back of her skirt?
Okay, so in researching, you've obviously come up with this. No. Or maybe you just remember.
I haven't. I saw the magazine.
She does.
Yes. What a huge booty.
Do you know which sports figure that didn't technically come in second, but that people lost their shit at Sports Illustrated for not naming? I can't even finish it. It's a fucking horse, for one thing.
Yeah, okay, so American Pharoah.
Right.
And won the
Triple Crown, first time.
And you know what? To me, you were talking about, as you led off, saying things that we maybe didn't touch on, right?
Right.
And to me, that's a legit story.
Sure.
American Pharoah, in the first since affirmed in 78 or whatever it was, right? The first Triple Crown winner. And not only that, then won the season-ending $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic.
Right.
But
we get into this thing, the fucking Lou Marsh, we talked about it, and Jacques
Villeneuve
winning
Northern
it,
Dancer,
right?
Didn't Northern Dancer become the athlete of the year at one point in the late 60s, early 70s, whatever it was?
May have, but it wasn't the Lou Marsh, which is where I'm most familiar, in terms of Canada, right, recently.
Okay.
But Jacques Villeneuve, to me, it's the fucking car, right? Like these sorts of and don't get me wrong, very talented driver. I'm not ready to call that guy an athlete. That's my... and it's the same thing with... And if you wanted to... There probably are categories where you can pigeonhole American Pharoah in.
Well, right.
This title is SI Sports Person of the Year.
Okay. So they're not giving it to the jockey, though.
No.
Espinoza or whatever the guy's name is.
I have no fucking idea.
Right. They're not going to give it to him. It's the horse, right?
But sports person. That's like just...
How about athlete? Would you go?
Maybe.
Could you fit that in?
You
Vegas
absolutely
with athlete?
Would get me closer. In this one, I'm sure unintended. They didn't name it this to go. Well, we can't let horses in when they first
that
came up with this
horse?
Award.
That goddamn horse!
Right.
Forget about it.
Right. But when they came up with this award, God knows whenever they did, this wasn't on their mind. But this one specifically, I get to be pissed at all you Twitter people with horse heads in your Twitter pictures claiming that this horse was robbed. No. Sports well, person.
Or it's going to end up in your bed. A la Godfather.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, and in looking at that, so I was reading somewhere after he had won the Triple Crown, the stud fees for that. Do you have any idea what the stud fee is on a horse, a Triple Crown winning horse?
Somewhat higher than mine.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah. Somewhat is a negotiable
somewhat,
term.
Exactly. For sure it is. And so is stud, to be honest with you.
Are we describing the person or what he's carrying?
They're saying 200 grand per live foal. Okay, so...
Yeah.
And they're expecting him in his first year, because he's now been put out to stud, so they're expecting him in 2016.
Good for you, bud. Enjoy your retirement.
Exactly. Hey, all I do is win... And now I'm just
going
to spend all my time with the cheat sleeve. Like this is so, but they're expecting him in 2016 to pull in, you ready? 40 million. That's
guy's up for a good year.
That's 200. Just, that's honestly, that is
how
a,
did this not get more attention?
That
on
is
our
a
show?
Fine, fine pace.
Absolutely. Good for you, man.
So to me, that's the story of the year right there. Triple Crown, Breeders' Cup Classic. 200 grand per.
Wow.
All right.
And now, nothing but good times ahead.
Oh, this is it. I'm just going to hang out here.
Serena Williams becomes the oldest woman to win a... They don't call them majors in tennis, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Well, then Wimbledon, 33 years old, 289 days.
Open championships, I think, is what they...
Yeah. Well, and they said a Grand Slam event is the one
right.
I read.
Grand Slam, yes.
But I think winning the Grand Slam obviously means you won all of them.
Which
she
came within a... Yeah,
lost to an underdog at the U.S. Open after taking the French Open and,
Australian.
And the Australian Open.
And Wimbledon.
Like, yeah. So again, a dominant year for, and I again, this is one of those areas where we're not probably fit to discuss the depth of the, but it does seem like over the course of a season, when you're watching your Sports Center and stuff like that, it's not the same 3-4 guys like it is on the men's side, or 3-4 women like it is on the men's side, right? You see more turnover on the women's. It does seem a little deeper, maybe.
I think it's thinner.
Do you?
Okay. Just in that fact, yeah. I think it's a thin gruel on the women's side, whereas as opposed to in the men's, where the men's is obviously deeper, there just happens to be more in terms of the depth.
Yeah,
more talent rises to the top. But you know what? On the men's side, you are still looking at Djokovic and Federer.
Rafa.
And then you have, Rafa fell out of the top 10, right? Yep. He's just sort of made his way back up in it, right? I think you're looking at Andy Murray has sort of come in and come out, right? But you're looking at Stan Wawrinka, right? Another Swiss guy, compatriot of Federer's, right? As they sort of... What's that?
I said I didn't know he was Swiss.
Yeah.
If you'd asked me, I probably would have guessed him a Czech or something.
I would have said a Czech too, but no, he is Swiss.
Okay.
So I think, just in terms of the quality of the men's... Yeah, there's more of it. Whereas Serena is older and still just dominates because she's, honestly, man, how can you not get her moving around? That is a huge rack and a huge can. I don't know how she...
Racket. It's pronounced racket.
You okay? That's a huge racket. But to me, the men's side is way deeper. The women's is thinner, and that's why there is no consistent, because it's just, it's thin stew.
That exhausts my tennis.
Whereas, honestly, Djokovic is a machine.
Well, and he seems to have well established himself over the course of the season as kind of the guy now, right?
Ahead the past couple seasons, honestly, he's a killer, right? In terms of
Dave's a killer.
Oh, Dave's a mess. but those, they both went 3-for-4, right? In terms of. And you look at all those sorts of things, and to me, it's a natural segue from one, you know, not, I was going to call it a fringe sport, and it's clearly not. Tennis gets huge TV ratings.
Right. Here in North America, it suffers, but worldwide, it's probably in top.
Right. To me, another super interesting story, and probably on the opposite end of the spectrum from Serena, is you're looking at in golf, the Justin Spieth.
Yeah. He's had a big rise.
21,
right?
He won two of the majors.
Well, it seems
finished second and fourth in the other two.
He's new Rory, right? Like,
yeah, because Rory is so old.
Well, right, but he hasn't quite become what I think a lot of people predicted.
Well, because he's from Northern Ireland. He gets a little success, gets a lot of the points into him. he's got his little piece of whatever he's got going on there, a little something on the side, a little going on there, and next thing you know, I have no focus. I don't know what's going on here.
This might also be the year where, just because of the silence on it, is this finally when people have finally given up on Tiger?
No, because honestly, every time you hear a major come up, people are talking about, well, what do you think, Tiger? And they still have cameras on them, they still... Who cares, honestly? And I understand that he brings money and he's...
Well, he did. Does he still?
No, I can't imagine he does.
I've had this...
Put him in with John Daly.
I don't remember what year it was. It was quite a while ago when all this shit with his wife blew up and he'd been busted
with
all these women and she was trying to run him over or whatever was going on. I told a buddy of mine he will never win another major. And, you know, we put a pint of beer on it, which... gets paid out.
Which never does, because I think I'm up about 80.
Yeah, I know you like to think that, but you're not this guy anyway. The only way I can win that bet is when Tiger dies, technically, right? Like, that's the only way to know for sure, you know. But here we are. It's been at least 5 years since that happened. He's had surgeries, and he's, like, he was a disaster this season when he did play, right? This has to be the time where... Even the most loyal Tiger fan goes, okay, it's over, right? Like,
oh, it's over.
USA women win the FIFA World Cup, hosted by Canada.
Yeah. Artificial turf.
Yeah, that seemed to somehow be
Canada flames out.
Well, made a semis, right? Like, or made a quarter, I guess. Quarter. Was top eight in the world. It's about where they're ranked, is it not? Ninth or something, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there was coming off of
London, there was disappointment.
There was expectations. There was a bunch of things, right?
But some stars were made. Like, there was absolutely, you could see it all the time, that those stadiums, and I don't say this at all to be derogatory, were full of young girls, right? And you wonder, I don't know if it has the power to create something down the road, but it was awesome to see, right?
Like, right.
That type of, it was well supported in this country.
Hugely supported.
Right. Sold out stadium, especially out west. Like,
no, we sold out here too in Ottawa.
Okay. And I guess that's actually, you know, tip of the cap to the city of Ottawa because they didn't get a Canada game. So,
no, but we had Germany here. We had Norway, I think, women's powerhouse countries, right? And so, and the Japanese maybe were here as well. But anyways, yeah, well attended. Now it's only 24,000, but
The thing that makes, well, still 24, and again, you sound like a chauvinist, I guess, but 24,000 for a women's soccer game in Canada, fuck yeah, right? Like,
yeah, World Cup, and we're never likely to see a men's World Cup, no. Right? So
it's because of the turf.
Turf. Yeah, but you know what? And so I now
that's another story I had had enough of by the end, because the thing that went horribly underreported in an attempt to make FIFA, who, believe me, does a great job on their own of looking like shit, to make them look worse was that they would never let the men play on this. Why don't you go and see how many other countries bid to host this tournament? The number zero.
None, yes.
Mm. So you can do this, or you can not have a fucking competition. Yeah. Now, at the last minute, I believe it was, and I'm not trying to be funny, it might have been Cambodia. It was an African nation that just said, well, we don't have any infrastructure, so you can come play here. And all the people who led this fucking charge on behalf of the female players went, no, we'd rather keep complaining but go play in Canada. Well, there's a certain amount of fuck you to that, right? Like, do you want to do this or don't you?
Hey, you know what? I, probably like many listeners, you lost me with Cambodia.
Yeah, well,
African country.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Cambodia's next to Vietnam, man. No,
okay, yes. Fair enough. But I'm pretty... No, you're right. But that's what I'm saying. Stupid. No, it was a nation like that.
How
right?
about Cameroon?
You weren't going. It might. Hey,
hey.
You weren't going to London, right? You weren't going to fucking Japan
or going back to Brazil or wherever
that
else.
That wasn't happening.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can't even imagine what they were thinking. And we've hosted the U20s. We've hosted the women's. Now everything they're doing is in this serious attempt to try and woo a World Cup here,
right?
But it's never, honestly, they would never play the men on turf. So I think they'd come back to Canada because we've done just about everything they've asked us to do, right?
Yep.
And so if we could equip enough stadiums with actual grass, then
well, one interesting thing, and the stadium actually wasn't as big as what was, especially being used out west. They weren't allowed in Toronto, where BMO has grass, right?
And why is that?
Pan Am Games.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a...
And would you want to play one set of games on...
Yeah. No, well, that's an interesting question, too. Could you do that, right? Do you have to stay consistent? Because you have to wonder how consistent that turf was across all the stadiums.
Well, you know what? I've played lacrosse on turf as well, and then on grass, right? And... honestly, the way a ball bounces on the turf and the way it bounces on grass, totally different.
Well, and you want right. So all these countries who, right or wrong, hated the turf, in all likelihood, practiced on turf leading up to the tournament, right? And
sure.
So you wouldn't want to be bouncing back and forth between the two.
No.
But, you know, supposed to be the national soccer stadium of Canada. That's why government money went into building BMO for MLSE.
Poor timing.
And, didn't exactly work out so well. Yeah, I wonder if I thought it was cool. I watched a bit of it. Melissa Tangrady was, I believe, one of the... Obviously, Sinclair's always, you know...
Yeah, star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it'll be cool to look back in 10 or 15 years, and see where we are at an international level and see if you can draw a line between the two, right? Did it have an impact here? But those stadiums, the thing you can...
Like the big upswell in women's hockey post-98, right?
Right.
In terms of girls' hockey.
Oh, hey, I can go somewhere with this.
Exponentially, right? Just boom, right?
Well, and like you can tell when you watch a sporting event, especially like OHL teams historically play at least one daytime game for schools, right, per season. And you can tell when you either see the highlights or if you're watching or listening to the game, these high-pitched cheers that are very different than a normal game because it's all full of kids. And some of these games, and I'm not saying that no men went, certainly soccer fans attended.
No self-respecting man goes to...
But you could hear when Canada would score, when a cheer would go up, that there was a heavy female... Sound and that's
like
the, awesome.
Sound like right? The Sky Dome in the early 90s.
Yeah, a little bit.
Whee!
So that was, something that, was interesting that certainly doesn't happen every year, certainly doesn't happen here every year. How about Jeter basically getting filleted for 7 months through setting himself up for the victory tour, which now David Ortiz is basically... And you brought up Kobe Bryant doing the exact same thing, these tours of...
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't mind it, I guess, really. I don't think David Ortiz deserves...
Right, I was going to say, I'll give Kobe and even
and
Jeter.
Yeah. Honestly, Jeter, what a...
David Ortiz.
And Jeter is a bit of a... And
you played half the game.
You right? You hate to throw it around, but a bit of a gentleman, right? In terms of...
Except for his... his overnight departure packages, whatever you'd want to call them. Hear about those?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Good for that guy. For people who don't know, the report was, I don't know if it's ever been substantiated, but there were many sources on this that, because Jeter always had this great rep. In New York City, it's pretty easy to get into trouble as a millionaire and media.
Honestly,
paparazzi
media darling.
Everywhere, right? And so you can get into trouble pretty easy. He would have... fans or, lady fans brought to his apartment. He'd send a car for them or whatever. Or maybe not. Maybe he met them somewhere and he'd go home, spend the night or part of the night. And he would have his driver take them home. And in the car, when they would get in, would be a basket full of signed Derek Jeter memorabilia as a send-off, a token of his appreciation.
Something to remember this night with.
And there's something just horrifyingly arrogant about that and something that I just love, right? Like, good
for
you, man.
And you know what? And I knew about that, but I thought it was, I didn't think it was memorabilia. I thought it was like, a care package of whatever, like perfumes, chocolates. And
maybe that was in there too. Maybe those two, the stuff I wrote was autographed baseball stuff. Maybe that's the reach, right? Maybe that's where the story loses its...
Yeah.
But I like that version of the story way better.
But I definitely heard that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? And that's nice. He's a caring guy. I'm going to get... You know what? This evening meant a lot to me. I'm going to give... What a gentleman.
Okay, but he's handed him seven of them out a night or out a week to seven different women. Yes.
You know what? Then somebody should be patting him on the back.
Yeah, well...
Good for you, buddy. But I would like, you know what? I would like to have seen him. I was supposed to go to, I was in Toronto for a concert, his last appearance, the Yankees' last stop.
Right.
And so, but that's the year before. Yeah, that was 2014, Jeter's last, but that's okay.
Yeah, how did that get on my list?
I have no idea. But we've killed a little time just covering it, but.
Yeah, he didn't play this year. What the fuck? No, because, okay, but...
Some African country.
How about Floyd Mayweather remaining...
And Manny Pacquiao?
Remaining the highest paid athlete on earth. What a known wife beater.
Yeah, what a bust.
Yeah.
What a bust, honestly.
Did nothing and just won by... Now, everyone who knows boxing, which is not me...
Well, you probably know it enough.
Sure. If I'd, you can, but before the fight, I'm saying everyone knew this is what you should expect. He's going to be strategic, they were calling it, right?
Defensive, right. Elusive.
He doesn't open himself up. He doesn't take big wild swings. And that's exactly how it played out.
And an aging Pacquiao, too. Not a Pacquiao in
his
prime.
Was the fight 5 years ago.
Right.
This took way too long to get done. And now Pacquiao in September was sued for...
in being injured, potentially.
Right. I think he had a hurt shoulder. So all these pay-per-view buys and ticket buyers and all these, you know, people supposedly were ripped off by getting a less than 100% Manny Pacquiao. You know, kind of a... who knows whether that's true or not, right? Yeah. I mean, really.
Fight of the century.
Well, okay, of this century. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So fight of the last 15 years.
Still with 85 years to beat that, which, honestly, you know what? I could care less about boxing.
No, I get that, right? But remains the highest paid athlete on earth, a known wife beater.
When he's went on to win, he won another bout after that. Yeah,
yes,
he's now
that's right.
48 or 49. 49
said he is retiring there.
Well, why would you not go for 50?
Because, and I forget the guy's name now, and I didn't write it down.
He's
tied a record at 49-0, and out of respect, doesn't want to pass it.
Yeah,
this guy shows no respect to fucking anybody.
Exactly,
right?
I think he's probably...
He's waiting for Pacquiao to come back around and they'll make another $100 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever,
at that age, as soon as you put anything on the... anything can happen, really, in terms of... So, but yeah, what a bust. And I had it on my list of things that I wanted to touch on too, right? But
yeah.
Who cares?
His loudest critic, especially because he's well known to
Oprah Winfrey.
I was gonna say, his loudest critic had her head kicked in a couple of weeks ago, as Ronda Rousey went from being
literally had her head kicked in.
Yeah,
I get it. I wasn't sure with Mayweather's.
No, she was criticizing him, and he showed up. No.
Shame on you for thinking that, yes, too, just for the record.
She was probably at that point the UFC's biggest draw. You wonder what a loss does to that
mystique. Thank God for Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I guess so, eh? I wonder if there had been reports saying she was going to fight maybe one more year, couple more fights, go to Hollywood, go to the WWE, do these sorts of things and stop, you know, having to...
actually train really hard and
for sure
improve and stay on top of it.
At that point, I don't know. Now, at this point, she's got something left to fight for. When you're just dominating people over and over and over, how long do you do it? When is it, made my point, right?
Yeah.
I don't love doing this
anymore.
And
obviously, you know, that's the beauty. And what the women's game has lacked is somebody who can stuff a takedown and punch, a world-class striker, right? Stuff a takedown. Punch, stuff a takedown, punch. That's GSP, right? That's that same sort of thing. You're not going to take me down.
Right.
Right, like it's a hit, you know, the defense, the takedown defense was incredible for her, right? In terms of, and you know what, you could just see, now I don't think Ronda trained as much as she could have for that fight.
And she admitted as much. Now, right. What are you going to do afterwards? I'd probably look for a little bit of a... She's full value. She beat me.
And I saw a couple things. Yeah, I saw a couple things, right, where leading up to it. I touched on that where she said things like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I've done a bunch, you know, way too much media, way too much movies, all this other stuff, right? Yeah. And you go, whew. Yeah, and it shows when you could see what she was being. She was deflated by the end of that first round.
Yes. No, absolutely.
All the stuff I normally do is not working.
Right. Well, and at that point, that's the first time in God knows how long she's been tested. You wonder how you, if you are fatigued, how you react to that, right? And how you make yourself come back around. And normally I've destroyed people by now, and I have to, right on. Now I have to rally around. I have to come up with a new strategy, and I'm too tired to do it, or I'm not prepared to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, real interesting. She's been given a medical suspension, I believe they call it.
Probably 6 months for a head kick.
And they say, I believe it was 6 months, but they say that doesn't have to stay the case. She can be cleared earlier
Right.
But they are, I believe it was a 6 month. And there are people saying, I can't imagine this would be the case, that during that Super Bowl weekend, they always have a big card, or maybe it's the bye week. No, it is Super Bowl weekend, the Saturday night.
They always put it the same, yeah.
That, you know, that would have been the target for the rematch. That seems real unlikely at this point to me.
Agreed.
But they've also got that Texas Stadium show, I believe, coming up.
Because they're expecting, I think, her to run through Holly Holm, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. So that, I don't think that's too much further down the road, right? That might be April. I actually don't know off the top of my head, but that maybe that's...
Well, she'll be cleared for that. The 6 month is
it's a formality.
A precautionary thing, right? It's the medical, especially with any kind of knockout.
Yes.
Right? They want to make sure everything settles and whatnot, so...
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, A, how she responds, and B, maybe how the UFC responds, right? One of their biggest stars taken down a peg in a big way. So,
right.
You know, within a couple of years, and it really hasn't been that long, but with over the course of a couple of years, the UFC lost huge stars between GSP and Brock and even Tito and Randy and
Chuck. That early crust, right?
Right.
That early level of stars, right?
Right up until probably 2010, they still had those guys. Anderson Silva, what's he... Right.
Well, ever since since he broke his leg trying to kick Weidman. And
yeah, how'd that work out?
Yeah, honestly, not good.
So the sport is apparently, and by all accounts, bigger than ever. But a lot of those names all disappeared, and they're definitely building new ones. But you wonder what happens if Ronda's next, right? And she's
right
at the door.
Well, and you know what? And interesting, and we probably don't need to get a pile of this because we want to touch down on a little bit more review, but... Conor McGregor saying he wants to move up to 155, mm-hmm. right? Donald Cerrone saying, you know what, chump, come on up.
Bring it.
Come on up. And your pitter-pats, your ass will get knocked out at 155. So, yeah.
You love that talk.
Yeah, stay down where the light fellas are.
Was it 2012 or 2013 where we went to Montreal to see GSP versus Condit?
That was 2012.
So that's... only 3 years ago, and that's a long time, but at that point, if George wins that fight, they're still talking about George versus Silva, right? As a catch weight, or George versus Anderson Silva, as the catch weight. Man, that just seems like forever ago now, right? Like, neither one of those guys would be...
Well, and Silva, to me, seemed unstoppable.
Right. Until he was... You could always tell when he would get in there and fuck around when he didn't respect his opponent, right? And you were just waiting for somebody to...
You know, when he got clipped. Yeah. That's what happened, right? Yeah. He got clipped.
That's right.
Ooh, it looks good on you. Drop a couple hammer fists right on your head. Awesome. Right in your face.
What else you got on your, what else we missed in 2015?
And you know what? In terms of us not covering, I think we've got it all, but mm-hmm. I don't think we can, just in terms of if you want to look at, and I think the Royals, and we did cover this, but it's interesting in terms of just noting that how weak that franchise has been since the 80s, right? Yeah. In terms of, you know, with Brett Saberhagen and George Brett and whatever, and a good franchise. And
well, basically since they played us, right?
Yeah.
Was it 87?
Yeah, honestly, 30 years in the making.
Yeah.
And so I was very interested in the way that they built their roster.
Yeah.
With that nickel and dime timely hitting and the pitching, right? Man, just four studs coming out of the bullpen and just...
average starters.
Yeah. Guys, just give me five. Give me five.
Do you think that's a model that catches on? It's all sports are copycat leagues.
Sure, yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested.
I'd be nervous.
And you know what the thing is? For me, and just in looking at in sort of a year in review... Mm-hmm. Obviously, so Jay-centric for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. How could it not be?
The Jays' run and their series against Texas was outstanding. That whole clinching game
The seventh inning,
and that took an hour to play.
Yeah.
And you want to look on the other side, the Cubs and the Dodgers with all the controversy and everything that went on. That those were interesting. The World Series final was.
At that point, and maybe it was just the sting of being a Jays fan. But it was two fairly. Generic. The Mets had all those four young pitchers, and that was kind of interesting. But it was just kind of a
Lacked a little punch.
Yeah. Not much personality there, right?
Right.
Even for, a New York team being in there, you'd think.
Right. Yeah, so the Cubs and the Dodgers sense. And then the Jays on our side, and you go sort of go, wow, there's all kinds of.
Yes, you know what? Having said what I just said, I bet you in the U.S. that AL was of no interest to most of the United States. Kansas City versus Toronto.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Phew.
Right. Okay, a small American market and a Canadian market?
Non-American market,
what?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right. So it's interesting. You wonder, we talk about that being a great series, and I don't know if, it was interesting. The Texas series was more of a great series, if you wanted to put it that way. But I bet you that ALCS troop just fucking nothing for them for ratings. I should have looked that up before we...
Right, and you know what, and I don't think, and it's not just us, I don't think anybody in the States cared about Kansas City winning
right.
either. Outside of Missouri?
Right.
I don't think anybody cares
Missouri.
About that. Missouri.
The show me state.
Yeah, show me something good. No, and you know what, the only other thing than that, and we talk hockey here all the time, so we don't need to go into this in depth, but just some of the interesting things, right, that happened in 2015 in hockey, right? Sens coming from 14 back, first team ever to come from 14 back. The Sharks missing for the first time in 10 years. You look at the Kings being the first team since Carolina to go to be a defending Stanley Cup champion to not making the playoffs.
To looking again right now as we end 20.
To also to looking at in that same season. So you have the Kings defending Stanley Cup champions not making, and you also have the Boston Bruins defending President's Cup winning team also not making the playoffs the next year, right? All those things happening in the same year, man. It's interesting, right? In terms of the anomalies and those things happening in the same time. That's only the third time that a President's Trophy winner hasn't made it.
Yeah,
and it happens the same year as honestly, it's intriguing, right? And the only other thing I really want to touch on in hockey is you look at last year's Calder candidates, right? When you had Stone, Ekblad, and Gaudreau, right? And Ekblad, we're both familiar with Ekblad, World Junior, and all that sort of
good
stuff.
Canadian boy, Barry Colt.
39 points he had last year as a sort of stay-at-home defenseman. He's not known to be a flashy offensive guy. Like, he never had more than 53 points in junior.
Wow. Yet he had 30. Hell of a...
A jump up, right? Yeah. As an 18-year-old to boot, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so you look at, and if you look at the other two guys, Stone and Gaudreau, both with 64 points, right? Move out 5 or 6, 10 years from now. Who's the better pro, Gaudreau or Stone?
I think if you'd asked me a week ago even, I'm giving you Stone all day. Gaudreau's heating up again, right? Like, I wonder about his size. I wonder about... But Mark Stone to me looks like one of those underrated, probably always a, you can balk at this field, but on a cup winning team, a second line, really reliable, get it done guy.
He's gonna put up 70 points this year.
Yeah.
Right? And likely be again in the top two in takeaways.
And that to me is one of the, I don't know when they started counting that. But, man, it's an interesting stat.
Well, you watch him when he's on the ice.
Yeah.
And you know what? And they say he's not a great skater.
Right.
Like, he's an average to, an average NHL skater.
Right.
But his stick, he's got a crazy active stick, right? And
right.
so, yeah, and a bigger body. I wonder if Gaudreau can. But I balked at Ekblad winning.
Right.
And you know what? Maybe in hindsight, you look at that and go.
Yeah, that might have
true
been.
True 18-year-old.
Just a little bit homerish.
What?
Balking at him winning over a Stone? Or
Well, but Stone, again, Stone had 28 goals. Again, led
tough to argue.
Led the league in
Gaudreau
takeaways.
Also like, all three of those guys, really, you could make the case for.
Right, man, right, exactly.
What a class.
So, so really that's all I had to touch on.
Yeah. Well, it's been, I certainly a share of negative stories when we got into all the – especially around the NFL. A lot of stuff going on.
Boo. Yep.
But some pretty cool stuff going on, too. The only other thing for me was the Pan Am Games in Toronto created a huge stir, especially towards the end of the games and right after the games, about whether or not they should put in the Olympic bid. They decided not to go for it for the next round, which was absolutely, in my opinion, the right decision. Here were two no matter what they end up doing down the road, and I don't think they should do it, but no matter what you end up, you can't do it when you're that swept up in the emotion of having just finished it, right? You would have made it a poor, rash
decision. You talk
to
anybody who lives in the GTA, and they're like, forget it. It sucked. It ruined my commute every day. It made traveling around the city hard.
Okay, but you're going to get 8 years notice. Why don't you save up your vacation days and just not be around? Like, right?
Okay, you're on notice, GTA.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not, because you're not bidden. But
yeah, it's true.
But it was cool. Like, I have said long before we started doing these shows, this is going to be a disaster ticket-wise, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
And we said it on this show.
Right.
And we were both positive that was going to happen.
Right. Watching the opening ceremonies was really cool. I mean, probably no surprises they sold it, but the crowd was so jacked and so into it. Events were well attended. Couldn't have gone off any better, at least in my opinion, right? Like I said, I predict doom and gloom. So we'll see whether or not, you know, they've got a couple of years now to figure out whether or not they want to go for it in 2028.
Wow, man.
Long way off, right?
It seems like it, but it's 2015. Yeah. We're on the cusp of 2016
right
here.
So we'll see. But to me, that was absolutely something. That, I can't say we didn't cover it, but just absolutely something noteworthy.
And worth touching on
in
closing.
Yeah. So pretty interesting year in sports, especially gave us lots to talk about as we started up this program in May. Been a blast to cover. Not on this one. Also want to thank Nate for all he's offered in our first year of doing this. Man, he's got just a ton of knowledge when it comes to football, to hockey. He's just a guy who's got it covered. So
a junior hockey expert.
A guru.
Legit.
Yeah. So it's been a fun year. Also, thanks to Rob for coming on and doing these.
It was my pleasure.
Hey. No doubt there'll be more to talk about in 2016, and we'll start that on the next Tall Can Sports.
See ya!
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.